Hi, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to Film Fatales, your favorite sporadically posted, inconsistent podcast about bitches in movies.
Hey, flops. We've been flopping and succeeding in a new year. Welcome to 2024.
Yes, happy new year. Woohoo.
Happy new year. It's been a week into the 2024, and I feel like new year really hasn't started yet. But I'm so glad that we're back once again to talk about movies and the things that we like.
What have you been up to? People don't need context. I don't owe that to anyone. Like, the holidays are a busy time, and there's lots to do, and there's people annoying you everywhere you turn, and you just have to deal with it.
You have family to see, you have food to eat, and, like, everything else. Have you been watching movies?
Yeah, I have been. Are you more prepared to talk about the movies you've watched? Because I'm just going to go down my letterbox.
I'm going to go down to my letterbox, too. I think one thing that we watched, we just do a quick recap of like some of the movies we've watched during the holiday season before we jump into our main episode today. So one movie jumped out was May December, which I think we might do a month somewhere down the line, just on Julianne Moore, but I love that movie. We should talk about it at some point. I think there's so much like context there.
December was good. That stands out. I watched a lot. Some stuff was not so good. I watched Tar for the first time, which I know I'm behind. I think liked Tar more than... I don't know. Everyone I talk to feels like Tar is overrated, but I really loved it.
I love it.
Okay, good. I watched Rapid Fire. I watched Beyonce's Renaissance movie.
Okay, of course.
I went to see the Hunger Games prequel because obviously when I was a kid, I was a big fan. It was boring. I was bored.
It was boring, actually. Yeah.
It was genuinely boring. I saw The Color Purple movie musical, which fantastic performances, horrendous directing. I watched Saltburn. Also overhyped by many people, in my opinion.
Overhyped. Flop.
I watched Maestro, which was better than I expected, honestly. Carey Mulligan acts circles around Bradley Cooper. But,
I've heard so many good things about Carey Mulligan. Maybe like I want to take a little deeper dive into her catalog at some point.
Yeah. I finally watched Asteroid City. Boring. Yeah. Boring, just boring, boring, boring.
Is that it?
And then finally, I watched Poor Things, which we will talk about later this month.
It's not even released in Hamilton like later in February. But I'm gonna watch. We'll be doing like a we'll end off our Emma Stone month with Poor Things. Quickly, my list, May December. Hunger Games, I gave it 3 stars. Rope by Everett Hitchcock. Super campy, super gay. 3 stars, though. I watched the Cola Scola special. Something cut off in your audio. 5 stars.
What was that?
It's called Our Home Out West. It's like a 30-minute web special by Cola Scola.
Right. Okay.
Super sweet. Check it out. Party Girl featuring, do you know Party Girl?
No.
Parker Posey, super classic 1995 film. I gave it a 3-star. I watched Connie and Carla. I've been on the Toni Collette ride lately. It's a drag movie that I sent you over.
I never watched it. Did you watch Clock Watchers?
I did watch Clock Watchers. Did 4 stars. I love it. Yeah, I really like it. I really like it. I really like it. I watch Eileen, flop. Please don't. And I did watch a 1971. It's called The Devils. Apparently, was like it's like this obscure British cult band film. Pretty good.
You seem like you've been much more focused on older films, and I've been much more in the theaters what's being released now, which honestly currently tracks for both of us. Honestly, so tracks.
Also, don't have a family to see, so I have more time to watch movies.
Okay, well.
Should we jump into our episode today?
Yeah, you can't just drop something like that. Okay, great.
Great,
yeah. So, this month, as you'll know from the title of this episode, we're talking about Emma Stone, who is an interesting actor.
For the longest time, I mistake him, her, sorry, her with Margot Robbie. Like, I thought they were the same.
Why? They don't even look the same.
They look a little bit similar. But I think, like, I'm just imagining, like, actresses need to, like, change how they look to distinguish themselves from other actresses. I think, like, Emma Stone certainly has that, like, you know, like, charm, like, quality about it. Like, so versatile.
Emma Stone is so unique looking, which sounds like I'm calling her ugly, but I'm not calling her ugly. I don't think she's ugly, but she's like beautiful in a very unique way.
She's unique.
Like her eyes are massive and they're also quite far apart.
So you're calling her ugly.
But it works for her.
It works. It works.
Anyways,
why are we talking about Emma Stone this month?
Why are we?
Yeah, is there a reason why we picked Emma Stone? Did we talk about it?
Yeah, I guess. I have been an Emma Stone fan since Zombieland. just so embarrassing. I don't know why little 11, 12-year-old me was so infatuated with Emma Stone. I just think she's obviously, I mean, we'll get into it, but she obviously comes off very, like, quirky.
The girl next door? The girl
next door. Not even the girl next door. Like, she's very, like, just quirky. Like, I feel like she could be the girl next door, but like she's the girl next door like on shrooms or something. Like she's like a little bit off center, and I like it. Anyways, we're talking about Emma Stone because Poor Things came out and we want to talk about, I mean, this is more logistics. We want to do a month talking about all of the Oscar noms when they come out, and I'm pretty confident, especially after seeing Poor Things, that she will be nominated for Best Actress. And so we'll end there and it'll kind of bleed into that whole plan from a more logical standpoint. How do you feel about Emma Stone as a fixture?
Am I an Emma Stan? I don't really care for her, honestly. Like, I feel like she's kind of like the Taylor Swift of Hollywood, I think.
Oh my god.
I mean, that's a read. Okay.
Don't agree with that, but now I'm trying to think who would be the Taylor Swift of Hollywood acting.
Her?
But I also like Taylor Swift, so I mean, it's not really.
But exactly. It's not in its own or anything. I think she's been continuously cast as we're going to discuss down the month. Like, she's continuously cast as, like, the girl, like the charm, the friendly, the everyday, like, American girl in a way.
Right.
I mean, there's more to it. I'm kind of oversimplifying it, but I think EZA is like kind of like the epitome of that, like, start of her career, I wouldn't say.
Right.
She must have acted like a little bit more work before, but I think EZA was kind of like the first introduction.
She did movies like Superbad, Zombieland, The House Bunny, but none of them, she was not, like, EZA, I think, was the first time that she was the lead.
Right, yeah. So. And I think, like, we're going to talk about it. Like, EZA is one of those films that kind of, like, have a cult following, or like, being, like, referenced as this classic high school movie. Wait, I mean, like, it's a high school movie about high school movies, do you think? Like, I think this movie...
Well, if you haven't gotten we're talking about EZA. We never really said that.
So this week we're talking about EZA.
EZA came out in 2010. High school teen, I guess you could call it a rom-com, sure. About a girl named Olive who lies about losing her virginity and then starts, you know, people start paying her to lie about having sex with them. Like, she doesn't actually have sex with them. She's just telling people. She's allowing them to tell everyone that they've had sex with her. And it's just, it gets into like sort of like a classic, almost tropey, here's how men are treated when they have sex. Here's how women are treated when they have sex, which we can get into, but that's just the general plot.
Even the film itself, it's based off of Scarlet Letters. Like, the movie itself is based on of a movie itself. And like a literary adaptation of, like, Scarlet Letters, which I think is, like, it's, like, the movie itself, it's a little bit meta in that kind of way. I mean, there's a lot of Mean Girls from it. I'm not sure if you catch on. Like, there's a lot of there's a lot of Mean Girls in it in a way that it kind of, like, combines all of the, like, the 90s, early 2000s, like, high school movies into one. I think that makes it such, like, a refreshing watch, because
in the 80s,
exactly, like, a lot of Heathers in it. There's a lot of, like, tone that kind of references in terms of that. I love this movie, and I mean, this is my second watch.
You
and
did
I, and
not I, love this movie. You're a liar. You gave it 3 stars on Letterboxd. How can you say you love this movie?
But, like, the 3-star is the cap for this.
Why?
Like, because it a high school movie would never be a 5-star. Right? Like,
I don't agree with you. I don't agree. I think that there's something fundamental about your Letterboxd philosophy that is flawed. Because you can't rate, like, Easy A up against something like Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, it's just, like, it's exactly. Not the same film. And so, giving, for example, I think 13 Going on 30, you know the movie?
No, I don't know.
Okay, it's actually one of the best rom-coms of all time. I think that is a 5-star rom-com film. Teen high school American rom-com film. So it's 5 stars. And it was on my 4 favorite films on Letterboxd for a period of time. But I'm not arguing that that movie is of the same caliber as something like May, December, whatever type of, like, Oscar baity movie. But, like, you have to rate things as they are. So, like, of course, in the grand scheme of all films ever made, of every genre ever, like, Easy A is not going to be cracking above a 3. But, like, what do you rate it in the realm of?
In that sense, it's like a 4 out of 5, which I think it's, like, for amazing all together.
Okay, well, let's talk about what you liked.
First of all, I have in my notes, Mr. Griffith and a Pointiero hot, like.
Mr. Griffith?
Yeah, he's so hot.
You know what? He's not. You know who's hot is fucking Stanley Tucci in this movie.
Stanley fucking Tucci. There's always this, like, English teacher trope. I think, like, all high school movies, they have this English teacher trope. I don't know what the fuck is, like, this infatuation with, like, maybe it's, like, the screenplay is kind of, like, a dedication for those
English teachers. I doubt it's that deep. I don't know. English teachers, maybe they're seen as, like, soft because they study poetry. I don't know.
And it would not make sense if the English teacher is like a it's like a female. It's like a female English teacher. Like, I think that would like make the movie a little bit less stakes involved.
Right.
But that's as far as I have for Mr. Griffith. He's just hot. Don't listen to my taste in men. Sorry, Mom.
Is your mom listening?
Probably not. Stanley Tucci, hot, really hot too. Sorry, I'm just focusing on the men.
So hot, and honestly, these parents are so unbelievable.
Exactly.
Parents like this would never exist, but I love seeing it, and I want them to be my parents.
They're, like, so cool. I wonder what their background was. I don't think the film ever, like, mentions what they do for a living.
I don't remember.
I just know that they adopt a child. But, I mean, they must be kind of wealthy to adopt a child, right?
The part that takes me out every time is when Stanley Tucci turns to the adopted son and says,
"Who told you?"
No, it says, "Where are you from originally?"
Where are you from? I had to know that. That's so funny. It's one of the best deliveries of all time.
And it's a really, honestly, I was watching the opening credits and I forgot that it's a pretty all-star cast in this film. I mean, obviously Emma Stone was new, but now in hindsight, all-star. Yeah. Penn Badgley, who
oh god,
is more famous than ever now. Amanda Bynes. Come on.
Amanda, bye.
No, don't also, call her that way.
Pam Badgley with the blue chest, like the blue body paint. It's giving me like the college haste. You don't know this reference. It's like college porn. It's like so super inappropriate. Like blue body paint, it's like being ingrained into my head. It's like I remember looking at that in Tumblr or something. It's like hot men in film or something. I think that did something to my brain chemistry for sure. a lot of hot men in this movie.
Yeah, are you okay watching this movie?
I don't know. I think there's like some unresolved trauma with like high school that makes me fantasize of having this, like, you know, American high school fantasy.
I will say that. Oh, also Lisa Kudrow, all-star.
Oh, Lisa Kudrow, yeah, of course.
I will say that this movie, when I was 12, maybe, when I saw this for the first time, was, like, not even being dramatic, for a few years, what I said was my favorite movie of all time. And I was so infatuated with this movie. I was so jealous of this, like, American high school experience that I think this movie really makes look so, like, appealing, which is weird because everyone's kind of a fucking bitch. But it's just, like, that's part of it. And, like, I was so jealous of, like, this, Southern California, like, high school, where, you go outside in between your classes and, like, your lockers are outside and the beautiful sun is shining through the trees. Exactly. And it's, like, this gorgeous, lush California high school experience. I'm like, that is what high school should be. And then I went to my dusty, crusty,
not even Vancouver,
suburban outside of Vancouver high school. And I was like, this is not the fantasy.
But I imagine when like Twilight come out, it must have been a phase where like people fantasized about that kind of like gloomy, like rainy high school environment. Like that became the ultimate high school fantasy.
Did it? I don't know, because I was living that one, and it,
oh yeah,
it didn't.
About, like Patrick Robertson.
Patrick Robertson. Robertson.
What's his name again? Anyway, also one of the most funniest line delivery. Do you know when Olive was spelling out the bad word that she used in class, and then the mom and dad was like, T. T, T, T. The funniest line probably ever. Like, I mean, that makes no sense. Like, it must have been, like, such a, like, deliberate writing that makes no sense at all. But when, like just good chemistry kind of makes up for that.
Right.
I was, like, thinking about, wait, sorry. I totally took it over. I'm just excited to talk about this film again. Because, like, I don't think I've really lived that high school life at all. And like seeing it in front again, I just feel like reinvigorated something in me. I don't know. There's something deeper.
Did you go to an all boys high school?
Yeah, exactly. All boy high school. Right. So I don't have that like gender dynamic a lot in school.
Right. I mean, I think that like how the dynamics of within high school for someone who went to high school very shortly after this film was released was not so far off for the time, in the sense that of like the, I don't know how high school is now, like obviously I'm out of touch, but like the, like it was a big deal if people had sex. Like it was a big, but watching it now as like an adult, and I like to think that maybe high school is a little bit better on this, but maybe it's not. It feels so actually over dramatic and insane that like just the reaction to the fact that like this girl in high school had sex. Like
I'm had like, to like emotionally prostitute herself. It's like selling really, out her.
It's really wild. And I know that the story, the plot gets a little bit more intense as she's like receiving money and people like everyone's saying that they've slept with her. Like I think maybe in high school today that would still cause a stir, unjustly so, but I think it would. But like the fact that like when she says she had sex once at a college party, like the whole school is still
shook
and, like, it's, I just like don't, that reaction in 2024 feels unrealistic. Like, I don't think that a film would be made like this now. Like, I just don't think it could be made in, like, today's context, because I don't know that responses would be the same.
Like, do you mean if someone in high school nowadays, they say, like, they're having sex really early, like...
But she's fucking, like, she's, like, 17.
I know. I mean, that's not even... I mean, we can only watch it. We're only watching it from today's perspective, which isn't shocking. Like, if you tell me you fisted someone, I'll be, like, gagged. But, like, you just sleep with someone, I'm like, who cares?
For real. And I think that a high school... I just think if this movie were made... Like, let's... I don't know, Mean Girls, the movie musical, is coming out, and I think it's going to be bad, but it seems like much more, just looking at the trailer, like, it's presenting a much more, like, modern-day high school environment, so I'm curious to see what they do with that, because I just think that even though, you know, it's been 14 years, I think this movie could not be made the same today and still be realistic. That's my only point.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like, high school movies that are made recently, I'm thinking about Dear Evan Hansen. Like, the premise is, like, way more twisted.
That movie was, like, terrible. That movie terrible. Sucked. And I love that Broadway show.
Yeah.
And I've seen it on the stage, and it was terrible. A terrible movie.
A quick Dear Evan Hansen tangent. Yeah, I mean, high school movies are always kind of in the culture, I think. It's just a matter of, like, what is new about, what are new stories. I mean, there's so many countless high school movies I can think of, right?
You've seen Bottoms. I've yet to watch Bottoms.
Oh, yeah, Bottom. Like, that makes a way more interesting premise.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like high school movies now, and that's, again, why I'm curious to see what Mean Girls does. There always has to be an element of, like, progression. Like, there always has to be, like Bottoms is focused on two lesbian characters. Like, there always has to be some sort of gay, queer, like, okay. Which I'm here for, but, like, I don't think high school movies are really being made anymore, or at least not in, like, my scope of,
I think right now a lot of millennials are making high school movies in a way that they're remaking high school movies the way that they want, or they kind of reinvent the genre a little bit. So, like, going in with the intent of, like, not making a high school movie and turn it upside down a little bit more.
Right.
So, I mean, you're totally right about, like, they probably can't make this movie nowadays. Like, a remake of this is probably, like, probably not the most, like, likely thing. No. Like, even, like, I've thought about, like, if the main character runs, like, an OnlyFans and gets found out, like, doesn't shock anybody. Everyone's like,
"Hey, get that bag!" Like, that's how people would respond.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So I don't know, but how do you feel about Emma Stone's performance? So she received a Golden Globe nomination for this performance. This movie made $80 million on only an $8 million budget, which is amazing. Great stuff.
Deservedly. I did like Emma Stone's performance. I think she's a little bit too old to play that role, but I think the movie knows about this. Everybody's
How old was she when she did this role?
So this came out 2010, and she was born...
She was 22.
She was 22, which... I think her face just reads a little bit older, and I think that's totally okay.
Wow, think Emma Stone is a wrinkly old...
No, I take that back. I'm sorry. You know who ages really badly? Her friend Rhiannon.
like the actor?
She's actually... Yeah, before we talk about Emma Stone, like, let's talk about who the real villain is, because I don't think we're going to talk... I think the real villain is her friend, Rhiannon. Cause
she's horrible.
She's a horrible friend.
You know who that is, right? The actor?
I don't know who that is.
Ali Machaca?
Who is she?
Where? Of Disney Channel fame, of Ali and AJ fame, of potential breakup song fame. You don't know potential breakup song? It took too long for you to call back.
I take that back. I'm so sorry. Now, that makes a lot of sense now. I think it's like, even though the school is in Southern California, she dresses up like a Texan. Like she has like
she does give Southern, but I think it's her like slight Dolly Parton hair
impersonation. <as well. laughs>
She's like doing really cheap Dolly Parton drag in this film.
Even the name, it's like a Fleetwood Mac song. But anyway,
what do you think? Wait, what do you think? Sorry, do you have more to say about Ali Machaca? Her character was rotten. She was not
rotten,
and it just like got really quickly resolved at the end, I guess.
Yeah,
when she like implied that it was resolved, and whatever, it doesn't matter. What do you think of like Amanda Bynes and her whole religious cult of virginal? Presentation,
drag, realness. It's actually kind of sad.
It's a little uncomfortable. Like, I remember thinking it was funny, and I still think it's funny, but like watching it now, I feel way more uncomfortable than when I watched it 14 years ago.
Is it because our current social political climate, or is it just like...
Honestly, it's like, it honestly is like this group of like white Christians sitting in a circle, like
weaponizing.
Yeah, sexuality and just like, and although I did laugh at the line where she's like, fuck, what did she say? I can't remember. She was like, Jesus tells us to accept the whores and homosexuals, but they make it so hard.
Guilty as charged.
But I think Amanda Bynes is kind of great in this movie, to be fair. Like, I think she plays the role.
I don't think campy she was.
And really stupid.
She did. Do a really good job. I think that sometimes she even like kind of steal the spotlight a little bit. Like right. She's almost being not typecasted, but like she plays that like faked innocence really well.
I hope Amanda Bynes is doing okay. I truly think Amanda Bynes got screwed over by the industry and her family, and she had such a promising trajectory as an actor, and then obviously stuff went down.
Yeah.
I hope she's okay.
Was she also in the football movie? Was that her?
What football movie? She's the Man.
She's the Man. Is that her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's wonderful. I keep forgetting that she's in some of my favorite stuff. Back to Emma Stone. Did you enjoy the performance at all?
I think Emma Stone does a great job, but also I'm so biased. I really tried to watch this movie again unbiased, but... I was obsessed with this movie. I've seen this movie more times than I can probably count in my life. Like, I haven't seen it in 10 years probably, but for a solid few years, I was watching this all the time. Like, I think she does a perfect job of being, like, the American girl, but not in, like, a shallow... Like, I kind of feel like Rhiannon is kind of, like, the all-American girl. And Emma Stone is, like... quirky and weird. She's weird, and I think she's like her. She does a really good job of playing the character as like really, like she's kind of unapologetic in her weirdness. But then she feels this pressure to like pretend she's had sex, and then she feels like this. She's obviously very empathetic because you can see in her face and the way Emma Stone acts it, like that she knows when people are asking her to pretend that she's had sex with them, that's a bad idea. But she feels so bad for them, and
right, so she does like, it. She's even, like, two steps ahead of herself in this movie.
Yeah, like, those contemplative moments where, like, at first she's, like, absolutely not, and then she, like, there's, like, silence, and then she decides to do it. I don't know. I think Emma Stone does a good job. The only thing that's not believable to me is that anyone would think Emma Stone is weird and unattractive in this movie. Like, she's, like, they look at her like this weird girl, and, like, she makes that line about... which is actually a horrible line now that I think about it. If Google Earth were a guy, he couldn't find me if I was dressed up as a 10-story building. Anyways, she does a good job. I think she does a good job, and it's an impressive first leading role.
Commercially successful role, kind of, I think.
It was super commercially successful.
I don't really have a lot of like notes on her specifically. I don't think she really plays a big role in this movie, if I'm being honest.
Really?
I don't think so. It's like this like orchestra of high school, and like everybody plays a certain like push and pull dynamic in it. I think that's kind of what makes high school movies so it's a genre really like enjoyable to watch. It's like everybody right. has their own like position to fill in. Yeah, that like that's all I have some notes. Did you catch the moment when I found some really strange moments in the film. I'm not sure if you caught it. It's in the auditorium, and then the mascot come out. What is it called? Woodchuck?
Yeah.
And then the background actors are like mouthing the words. Like it's like they're really? Mouthing the words. They're not like notice. Not saying anything. They're like lip syncing to themselves because the frame is kind of like on Emma Stone and like, they were talking, but then the background actors sitting behind them, they're like just like being so weird. That really
why were they told out. To do that?
I don't know. They were just like chanting the mascot name, which like really weirded me out. I was like, I rewinded it a few times.
What do you think of Emma Stone's big dance number? It needed to be bigger. It needed to be bigger.
I think the La La Land in her would say this is not good.
Little did she know. Little did she know. In a future year, she'd win an Oscar for a musical.
She's more like a mover. She's not like a dancer. I don't think she danced.
She moves her body. Yeah, sure.
She but moves. She
sang, that was her singing.
Oh, God. Don't even get... I'm going to hate it so much when we watch La La Land. That's actually kind of a hate crime. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I thought it just needed to be more... Like, it felt like it was supposed to be a big moment. I like that moment because she's talking in the film about 80s... movies and musical numbers that have no relevance to the story, and then they do it. Like, there's a lot of like trying to evoke. I think this movie is kind of similar to what we were saying a second ago about how high school movies now maybe are trying to evoke some of the 2000s high school movie essence with new progressive themes and characters. And I feel like this movie is trying to evoke the 80s high school films with new progressive themes, because for the time this movie is trying to have like a pro sex feminist perspective. It just doesn't I don't think do it very radically or very well, but that is what it's trying to do. So I can appreciate some of the references to 80s films. So
we totally forgot to talk about like the whole dynamic between the girl and the gay. Like there's...
Oh my God, the gay.
We need to talk about that. I think that, if anything, I think that was kind of like my main takeaway from the movie. It's this trope of the girl and the gay best friend, kind of. Not the bit, like that. I don't think they're friends. Like, I think it's just like the way that they see each other and like kind of, their relationship is kind of like symbiotic in a way that, you know, they can be a little bit safe with each other in a way, which I don't really get to have because I was in a boys' high school. So
it's also funny to me that he's like, oh my God, everyone can clock me, when he's wearing like a nasty white t-shirt and blue jeans. I'm like, girl, like,
we can tell
you, like, what? I don't know. And then he runs away with quote a hunky black man.
That was so funny in the most inappropriate way.
There's some things in this movie that maybe didn't age so well, but
yeah,
I don't know. What do you think of the gay? What do you think of the gay?
I think there's always this...
Brandon, like, that's his name. I forgot
Brandon, his name. Brandon, which is like actually the straightest name ever. I don't know, like what would be... I think that's always been like a fantasy, not like a fantasy, but like... a thing where gays are just like more socially inclined to like be friends with girls. I don't know how that is. Maybe you can speak more about it. I don't want to put you in the spot, but is that how in your like experience, like, is it how it usually is? I don't know.
In high school, I mean, yeah, I don't have very... I mean, to this day, I don't have very many male friends unless they're also queer. So I don't know what that's about. I don't like, what am I supposed to
is
say?
Is it coming from like a sense of protectiveness, or is it just like I don't know.
In high school, and like I went to high school during around the time this movie came out, Yeah, straight men were not nice. Like they did not want to be friends with you. And
Did you see
girls
it?
did.
Did you
And
see?
girls did for like very shallow reasons, which, you know,
Yeah.
like it truly is so was so stereotypical for me in the sense that girls would want me to go shopping with them. Like girls would want like that type of stuff. And
Yeah. Did you
I
see
don't
it
talk to any
defensive?
of them now. Like I don't like high school ended and
Okay.
it was like, okay, bye. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that is sort of my experience, but also there were maybe like three gay people, definitely more, but there were three out gay people. And so
Were you
honestly,
one of them? Yeah.
again, I think that today in high school, there would be more people who are open about their sexuality. And so I think there would be, but maybe
Are
I'm
more
wrong.
gay people than straight people nowadays, I feel
I
like, in
hope
high school.
so. I wish.
Yeah. I think that too would be make a funny high school movie. It's like the only straight dude or straight girl in high
But
school.
like the idea that like this Brandon is the only gay person in the school, I don't think would happen today.
It wouldn't happen. Like
Unless we're
he's
talking,
rich.
especially in California, unless we're talking like,
Oh
you know,
God.
middle America, but I pretend that that doesn't exist most of the time. So
They need to make a high school movie in small town Ontario. And like
Hamilton?
yeah, Hamilton, exactly. yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's people I would, I don't know. I think the movie's still funny. Maybe there are some jokes that are slightly dated now, but I still think the
Yeah.
movie's funny. I think there's clever jokes. I when she starts branding herself with an A and she starts wearing these super cunty corset tops, like for one, again, let's talk about that today. Those outfits are not even risque by today's standards. She's wearing
Normal?
like She's wearing a corset top with no cleavage and black jeans. And she's like, oh, I'm so scandalous. I'm like, honey, like what?
Honey, the you should film an audition for Drag Race.
Because there are no straps? Like,
Her
that's what makes it
mom was like,
scandalous?
you kind of look like a stripper. And then the dad was like, a high-end stripper that gets paid a lot of money. I think that was really funny.
Yeah, so I don't know. But I do, like, that's a good, I don't know. This movie has a lot of, like peaks in it that I think are quite enjoyable to watch. I think like there's a lot of moments where I just think it's a good teen romantic comedy, and I think Emma
It
Stone does a
is.
good job, and it's a good starting point because I actually think that have you seen Poor Things? No. I
No,
actually
not
think
yet.
that Poor Things tackles somewhat similar themes in very different ways, and I'm excited to talk about it.
I think I know what you're talking
So,
about. I can't wait to watch it.
yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts about the movie?
No, I stand by it. Honestly, when I started watching it, I was like, maybe like 10 minutes in, I was like, oh no, like I should have just let this live in my mind as this beautiful nostalgic film that I love so much. But now I'm watching it as an old, jaded adult,
Jaded
and it feels a little bit maybe subpar. But then once it got going, I was like, no, I stand by this movie. It's funny. Her parents are funny. Emma Stone is funny. Like, they're Lisa Kudrow is funny. She's fucking having sex with a student. Like, it's just like there's so much in this movie that happens that like I think is exciting to watch. I was not
Right.
bored.
Especially us who are in our mid to late 20s being me.
Thank you for that clarification.
we kind of grow up with these actors a lot. And
Right.
to see, like, especially Lisa Kudrow, like, I think she has a certain like peace in my mind. I think
Right.
just knowing these kind of comfortable characters in my mind, kind of like being together in one place and kind of just being fun and silly. I think that makes it a really solid watch. It's like solid movie altogether.
Yeah.
I wish I have more to say. Like I think that's kind of like my gripe with high school movies. It's that there isn't a lot to say, but when you have to like actively go and try to like formulate something. Like this movie could be about like, you know, high school sexualization and like whatever, blah blah blah. But like we're not going there. We're not going there.
Right. I think that Yeah, I guess I agree with that. I think it's a good starting point. It's a good launching pad to get into more Emma Stone.
So what are we talking next week? What film are we talking?
So we are going to discuss Jeff's favorite movie of all time.
La La Land.
Jeff's favorite movie of all time, La La Land. It's a musical. I've only seen it once.
God damn it. Musicals again.
I've only seen it once.
I've only seen it once.
It's a big jump from Easy A, both in time and in performance, I think we'll find. So it's
Yeah.
7 years after this movie, and we'll be able to talk about how she grew. Do we want to discuss our change in schedule for all our loyal 10 listeners that maybe saw our Instagram post?
What changed? What has changed?
So originally we were going to do Birdman next.
Oh yeah, right. You're talking about that.
Birdman, which Birdman's a great movie in my opinion, and I haven't seen it in a long time, so I'd love to watch it. The only thing is, Emma is a side character. I don't think she has. She's in the movie a decent amount. I don't think she has that. The focus is not on her. It's on what's his face, Michael Keaton. And I remembered that The Favorite is a movie that I love, and we would love to talk about. So we're going to take out Birdman, put in The Favorite, which will be after La La Land, and then finish with Poor Things.
Exactly.
And if you
I
don't
can't
like
wait to
it, if you don't like it,
shove it up your
don't
ass.
listen.
Put an A on your chest, honey, and
For
complain in
asshole.
line for asshole, for ass complaining,
You should have an
bitch.
A on your chest
You
for
should have
asshole.
an A on your forehead.
You should have an A on your chest for available.
Goodbye. Leave meeting. As always, thank you for tuning in to Film Fatales, our irregular
No, it's
sporadic
getting regular. We've
to
set
get
a schedule
into
forth for
it.
2024. It's getting
Exactly.
very regular, just like our digestive systems, and we are going to be posting consistently henceforth.
Hold us accountable. Yeah, thanks for tuning in again. I'll see you next week where we talk about The Favorite. No, La La Land. Yes.
Girl. Oh, wait, you can find us on
Yeah.
Instagram at Film Fatales Pod.
Yes.
And
For
leave us a
funny meme,
review.
and leave us a review, 5-star, please. Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Okay, thanks everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Not to change the subject, but I just was like looking down at it like it was my newborn child. And I was like, this is a statue of a naked man. It's very creepy. Staring at it. So hopefully I'll look at a newborn child differently.